Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Entertainment Now podcast. My name is Nick, and I am sitting here by myself recording. So this is the last of, so it's this week, and then next week is going to be the season two finale of the podcast. And because of some scheduling conflicts, Ian isn't able to join me on these last two episodes. So I'll be flying solo for this week and next week, and then season three will start up beginning of January. So he should be back for that. Well, he will be back for that. But so in the meantime, you got just me. So it'll be a little bit shorter of an episode because we don't have to sit here listening to Ian ramble on too much. But I will say that if you're listening to this on YouTube, I generally try to put these up on our YouTube channel, even though I guess I have to kind of wrap myself out. I've been kind of lazy about it lately. I think I'm two episodes behind on the YouTube channel, but hopefully shortly I'll have all these up on the YouTube channel. So make sure you give me a thumbs up and subscribe and, you know, all the YouTube-y kind of stuff you're supposed to do. And make sure you leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. And it's actually kind of funny. I haven't done a podcast episode by myself. So we've been podcasting since, I think it was January of 17, so it's been a long time, almost 7 years that we've been podcasting, and this is the first time I've done a show by myself since, it's probably like mid-2017, I think, when we did this like side podcast for a little while. It was like very political. I don't even remember what it was called. I think it was called like Partisan Bites, I think was what it was called. Mm-hmm. And like every week we would do like this a little 10 to 15 minute episode by ourselves. And I don't know, it didn't last very long. I think we only did it for a couple of months. But I think it's the last time I've done a show by myself. It's kind of weird sitting here not having anyone to talk to. But I'm going to kind of go over some of my favorite movies, or what I think are some of the best movies of 2023. But I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the new season of Loki. Because, of course, if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, I'm a big MCU fan. And I didn't, so I loved season one of Loki. It's probably my favorite of all of the, or maybe second favorite. It's definitely up there in the top, like two, maybe three. I think Loki, the first season Loki was great. Hawkeye was great. I think that was probably my top two, but I really love season one. And I was really looking forward to season two. Season two is, I think, probably one of my most anticipated show of the year. And once I started watching it, I think the last time I talked about it, I was like just after watching episode four. There's only six episodes in the season, but I didn't know what to expect of it. I didn't know what to think of it so far. And I was a little confused by some parts of it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it like I did season one. And episode six just aired within the last couple of days. I'm recording this on Saturday night, and I think the episode was up on Thursday night. So it's been a couple of days since episode six was up. And, you know, episode six, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it does a really great job of wrapping the whole season up. I think episode six made everything else make sense in the season. And I went from kind of being, you know, just okay with where the season was going to, you know, once it wrapped up, you know, I was really surprised how much I ended up enjoying it, because I wasn't enjoying it so much, you know, halfway through the season. So I love how they finished it. I love how they kind of wrapped it up. But there's a couple of things that really kind of, I noticed, like I said, I don't want to spoil it too much for anyone that hasn't seen it yet. But the interesting thing about how they ended Loki, and this is the thing that I really was interested to see what they were going to do with everything that was going on with Jonathan Majors. Because obviously he's facing multiple sexual assault allegations, I believe is what he's being accused of. And it's been ongoing now for some time. I think beginning of the year, middle of last year, something like that, is when some of the allegations started coming out. And not really knowing where all that's going to go, I didn't know what the MCU was going to do with Jonathan Majors' character of Kang, because of course he's going to be the big bad guy for they're in Phase 5 right now. I think Phase 6 was going to end with Kang Dynasty, and yeah, I forgot what the second Avengers movie was going to be called. That was kind of going to wrap up Season 6. But the last two, it was all set up for Kang to be the major bad guy over Phase 5 and phase 6. But, like I said, I didn't know what Marvel and Disney were going to do with him kind of moving forward. I didn't really see a way for them to get out of having Jonathan Majors as part of the MCU, because up until this point, he'd been a very integral part of their plans moving forward. He was very tightly wound around everything with like Doctor Strange, the last Doctor Strange movie, and you know, what was going on with Spider-Man, like all this other stuff that has been going on. He was like either directly involved in the movie or was indirectly involved with the themes of the movie, what was happening in those movies. Like the whole multiverse saga is all, you know, is kind of the setup for Kang. So the way they ended Loki Season 2 very much opens the door up for Marvel to move on and for Disney to move on from Jonathan Majors. So depending on, and really though, I think the way they have this, the next probably year of movies set up, they could still kind of run with the direction that they're going with the MCU. So they probably have, you know, a year, I'd say 10 months to a year to really decide if Jonathan Majors is going to be part of the MCU or if they're going to move on and do Doctor Doom or something like that instead of Kang as the major bad guy. You know, like I said, I don't want to give too much away, but go through and watch Season 2, you know, and you'll really understand what I'm talking about as far as, like, they very much left the door open for a change in plans for the MCU. But it's, I'm just kind of sad to see Loki end. They've confirmed that it is going to be the end of the TV series. There is no Season 3 that's going to be, that'll happen. They've already confirmed that. And the way they end Season 2, it's probably the end of Tom Hiddleston in the MCU. There was a recent interview he did. Within the last day, I think he did the interview, because, of course, the SAG strike is over, so they're able to promote and stuff like that. So he was on a talk show last night. I think it was Friday night that he was on it. And he said that his journey was over in Marvel, which is really sad, because he'd gone on this really interesting, like, 14-year character arc of Loki, where, you know, Loki's first appearance was in the first Avengers movie, like I said, 14 years ago. And he was, like, this main bad guy. And then, like, he is in a very different place now, you know, 14 years later than where he started at. And he's kind of like this anti-hero at this point. And, you know, it's unfortunate, because I really liked his character. I think it was one of the better characters in the MCU. And you know, I would have liked to have seen him kind of meet up with Thor once again and do something. But I don't really know how they could kind of keep going with that. You know, how many times has Loki died in the MCU? I think this is he's definitely died multiple times, but there was a fan theory out there that the way they were going to start the Kang Dynasty movie was similar to the way that they started in Infinity War, where, you know, within the first 10 minutes, Thanos kills Loki. And that kind of maybe kind of like a fitting way to end Loki would be to kind of let him lay dormant until the beginning of the Kang Dynasty and have Kang kill Loki in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the movie. And they could even do something where they could kind of wrap up Thor's character in that also and have him kill both Thor and Loki in the beginning of the movie. But I don't know. That's one of those fan theories that have been kind of floating out there. you know, and there's a ton of them, but it's gonna be, I don't know. I feel like Marvel, as it kind of distances itself from a lot of those original characters, I feel like it kind of is losing steam. And, you know, the new Marvels movie, which I'm going to go see it tomorrow, I believe, I'm going to go see the movie. You know, it's got some pretty poor reviews. You know, and I don't put a lot of faith in Rotten Tomatoes. There was an article that came out within the last couple of months about how their PR firms were paying reviewers to leave positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, I don't put a whole lot of faith in there. I do, when I go on Rotten Tomatoes and look at reviews, I look at viewer reviews. And I know that the same article was talking about how reviewers are paid to do the same thing. So, like I said, if I've been saying it for a long time, and pretty much everything that's on the internet, you can't put a whole lot of faith in. But just going over those reviews and looking at those reviews, you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith in this Marvel's movie. And I think the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of bad reviews for Love and Thunder too. And I thought Love and Thunder was a good movie. It was probably, I mean, I think it was better than the second Thor movie, but, you know, so like I said, I don't put a whole lot of faith in those, but I'm going to go see it and I'm going to kind of go into it with an open mind. And I don't know. I'll see what I think of the movie afterwards. Maybe I'll talk about it on the show next week. But it's you know, it's like I said, as they distance themselves from Captain America, and I know Captain America is coming back, and you know, Falcon is the new Captain America, and they're gonna kind of move forward with that. But like the original character, and you know, Iron Man, and all those old characters are kind of gone. It's interesting to see who's going to pick up the kind of the mantle and kind of run with the MCU. And, you know, at this point, like, so we're almost done with Phase 5, and I don't see anyone kind of stepping up and stepping into any of those big roles like those original characters did. You know, obviously, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is a fantastic actor, and what he did with the Iron Man character, it's hard to fill those shoes. And, you know, I thought they were going to kind of have Spider-Man be the, you know, the main player for the Avengers moving forward. But, you know, it hasn't really kind of come through so far in his most recent film. So I don't know. Like I said, I think Marvel needs to kind of right the ship soon. Cause I think they've lost a lot of people in this phase. And you know, after the heights of Infinity War and Endgame, I knew that was going to happen on us, you know, to a certain percentage, but I feel like they've really kind of dropped off. And maybe it's superhero fatigue that, you know, I think has finally started hurting Marvel. I think it's kind of hurt DC now for a couple of years. Actually, I think DC has never really gotten off the ground because of the superhero fatigue that we have in on TV and in movies, because it is a lot. And there's a lot of movies. I think there's, what, like 30 freaking movies that have come out over the past, you know, 20 years. And, yeah, I mean, they've made a lot of money, but I think people are finally kind of, you know, maybe it's time to kind of move on from some of these movies or these superhero movies. And maybe it's time to kind of go back to maybe doing, you know, one, maybe two of them a year instead of, you know, Marvel's been doing, I think, three a year for the last quite a few years, plus TV shows, and DC's been doing a movie or two a year, and it just a lot for one genre of movies. You know, if it was horror, I'd say the same thing about horror movies. You know, it'd be a fatigue factor if there was a, you know, all the same, you know, or the one studio is putting out a series of, say, you know, Child's Play movies. If there was a new Child's Play movie or two new Child's Play movies a year, plus a TV show, you'd get kind of tired of it over a while. So maybe it's time to take a break from the MCU. Maybe after, I think they've got everything scheduled through like 2026 right now. So maybe after 2026, maybe they'll take a couple of years off and kind of go back at it. Maybe let people kind of have a feeling of missing it and longing for it, to get them to kind of come back and maybe have some of those big box office numbers. Cause I don't see Marvel having $1 billion movies moving forward. Because you don't have the connection, to these newer characters, whether it's, Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel or they're doing Ironheart and Blade and, Fantastic Four. I don't know. I think Deadpool will have a big number attached to it. I think that movie will do quite well. But, I think it's the strength of Ryan Reynolds and what he did in the first two movies. The second Deadpool movie didn't, off the top of my head, I don't think it did nothing as big as the first movie did, but, I think it did okay, but nothing like huge. So I don't really expect Deadpool 3 to be a $1 billion movie. But I might be wrong. It might be a $1 billion movie and, completely change the complexity of the MCU moving forward. I don't know. They're also going to bring in Wolverine, and there's other things that we're going to be doing. In phase six, I think there's three slots that are saved that they have premiere dates for, that they have attached movies to. So, the MCU could be doing some different things, and maybe that's why they've kind of left that open to see how the whole Jonathan Majors thing kind of rolls out. Because if they end up having to distance themselves from Jonathan Majors, it gives them three movies to plug in there and kind of pivot away to a different main bad guy. So, but I think it's kind of hard to do because the Infinity Saga, there was three phases that went over. So there was all this buildup to Infinity War and to Endgame, where I think if they pivot away and go to a different bad guy, and it's just done over three or four films, or maybe five films, if they're able to kind of tie things into some of the other movies, it's going to be, I think a really truncated run-up to those last two Avengers movies in phase six. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they do. I'm sure that Kevin Feige and those guys, they have everything kind of mapped out. I'm sure they have got alternate plans arranged already in case they have to pivot away from Kang. But I don't know. I think it's time to, after phase six, maybe take a break from all of the Marvel movies. And I've loved most of them. I don't think, as far as the movies go, I think the Eternals is really the only one that's been like a misstep for Marvel. And there was still some stuff in there that I think was good. And things that I think that they were planning to build off of, but because of how poorly that movie did, they kind of ended it right there and kind of said, well, let's kind of move on from that and pretend like the Eternals never happened. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. And it's sad to see the run of Loki come to end, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure that's the end or end game for Loki. We'll see. They could always bring him back. There's talk about bringing other characters back also, but I think Tom Hiddleston's ready to move on. But 2023 has been a good year for movies. I think the last couple of years really have been too. I shouldn't say the last couple of years. Coming out of the pandemic, I didn't really know what to expect. 2020, 2021 were both pretty down for me. There wasn't really anything that really kind of stood out to me. Obviously, like, a lot of stuff went straight to streaming, and I feel like some movies that were either like pushed back until they could be theatrically released, or just kind of shelved altogether. I don't know. It was really kind of interesting and kind of strange couple of years for movies, and I feel like 2022 movies really kind of bounced back, and I think there was. They kind of continued that trend in 2023. And I'm glad the writer strike is over. I'm glad the actor strike is over. So we can finally kind of start seeing more of those kind of roll out. I think we're going to hit a kind of a lull from December through, March or April. as some of those, as those studios kind of get ramped back up with the writers, or after the writers and actor strikes, you know, to get some kind of some stuff really, really rolling. Cause they also kind of held on because of the strikes. They, you know, the labels kind of held on to some stuff also. They didn't want to release everything at once in fear that they wouldn't have content to release for, you know, months. You know, and they didn't want to go through like a dead period where there's nothing going on. So they kind of held on to some of that stuff. So hopefully we'll see some of that stuff kind of roll out over the next couple of months until we see, you know, everyone back fully at work and we see movies kind of cranking out again. You know, like I said, 2023 is a really good year. There's a couple of movies that I really loved. There's a couple that, you know, I haven't seen yet. Like the first one, Killers of the Flower Moon. I've heard a bunch of great stuff about it. Of course, it's Leo DiCaprio is in it. You know, it's got to Robert De Niro in there. Lily Gladstone's in it. Like a really great cast. You know, it like I said, it's one I haven't seen yet. I wanted to see it in the theaters. I've just been so damn busy lately. I haven't had a chance to see it. So I might, at this point, I guess I'll probably wait till it's on streaming before I check it out. And then the middle part of the year, you had Oppenheimer. Which, you know, Oppenheimer, I'm sure, is going to win a bunch of awards next year. You know, it's an incredible movie, and it's one that I think really deserves all the accolades that it gets or that it's going to get. You know, I know that the family of, I don't remember the one character in the movie, but I know the family had some kind of harsh things to say about the movie, and they didn't like the way that some of it played out and the way that some things are portrayed in the movie. But, you know, overall, I thought it was an incredible movie. It's probably one of the best movies I'd seen in the last few years. Oppenheimer is definitely on my list. The Barbie movie, which came out the same time, is one that I have not seen. I know a ton of people that have seen it though. You know, like Oppenheimer, I'm sure it's going to get a lot of recognition, as it should also. You know, and the funny thing was, I'm sure that, you know, before that movie came out, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, oh yeah, there's going to be a Barbie movie that comes out and, you know, it's going to do $1 billion and people are going to love it and some people are going to hate it. And, you know, I wouldn't have believed you that was going to do those kind of numbers. And I think that, I think it probably would have done even bigger. Had it not been for like the whole sexist kind of thing, people have an issue. And I think it's the same thing that the Marvels is going to have also. People have an issue with female leads, and it's unfortunate because I think it, you know, obviously Barbie did, you know, huge at the box office and it didn't suffer because of it, but some movies do. And I think the Marvels is a movie that will struggle partly because it's all female leads. So there's, you know, the backlash against the Barbie movie and the whole patriarchy thing, and you know, which I think some of it was really stupid, and I shouldn't say some of it, all of it was stupid. I saw, you know, social media personalities, let's call them, you know, burning Barbies on their channels. I thought that was one of the dumbest fucking things I've seen. You know, people love hating on things without seeing it. And I think a lot of the hate and backlash that Barbie got were from people that hadn't seen it. And like I said, I haven't seen it either, but I know my wife saw it. My daughter saw it. I know a lot of people that saw that movie. And, you know, I believe their opinions over a bunch of dumb fucking talking heads on social media. So, like I said, I haven't seen it yet. I'm really looking forward to it. Same with Killers of the Flower Moon. Barbie should be on streaming here relatively soon. So it's, it's definitely one that I've got on my list to check out. One movie that I was really looking forward to this year, and I know a lot of people aren't going to, you know, agree with what I'm getting ready to say. I was really looking forward to it. And I thought it was a good movie, even though a lot of people out there hated it and it didn't do well. And, you know, it kind of ran into the whole Sound of Freedom thing where people are like, oh, you know, Sound of Freedom was released at the same time. And, you know, ha ha ha. It, you know, a Disney movie didn't do what it was supposed to do box office wise, and all the stupid bullshit that went along with it. But Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, I thought was a good movie. Is it the best of the Indiana Jones series? No. Is it the worst? No. I think it's probably the second, maybe third best. It's probably the third best Indiana Jones movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark is an absolute fucking classic. And the funny thing is about that first Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones isn't even, necessary to the story. I think we've talked about on the podcast before that, even if Indiana Jones wasn't in that series, the Nazis were going to get the Ark and kill themselves with it anyway. So, but it's still a classic movie. I absolutely love it. The Last Crusade, I probably put up there with Last Crusade is probably my favorite. And then Raiders of the Lost Ark is probably number two. And I would put Dial of Destiny at number three, above Temple of Doom, which I was never a big Temple of Doom fan. I mean, it's a good movie, but it wasn't quite as good as the other movies. And then Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I thought was a good movie up until the end. I didn't like the whole alien aspect of it. And I know there's always a supernatural thing, element to Indiana Jones movies, whether it's the Cup of Christ or a voodoo guy, whatever he was, that ripped a heart out of a beating heart out of a guy's chest, and there's always that it is supernatural kind of aspect to it, but I guess the Kingdom of Crystal Skull kind of plays in all that also. So, I mean, I guess it works, but it was just a little too out there for me to buy into. Dial of Destiny, of course, if you haven't seen it yet, there's time travel involved in it. So it still kind of has that almost supernatural kind of effect to it that the other Indiana Jones movies has. But I think it was better done. And as much as people complained about some of the CGI in the movie, I thought the CGI, the de-aging CGI that they did, mostly worked. There were some issues with it, but I think you're always going to have an issue with de-aging. And de-aging has come a long way over the last several years. I remember the first couple of movies that I saw de-aging in, it was like almost ridiculously cartoonish. And it's gotten to the point now where in the scenes where he's still, where he's like, because it's Indiana Jones, years earlier, a couple of decades earlier. And when he's sitting still, like when he's in a chair talking, it looks really good. And then like when he's moving around or running or jumping, it doesn't quite work. But that's why I said it mostly worked. And I thought the story worked really well. I kind of liked the way it kind of wrapped up the whole Indiana Jones saga. I'd like to see, I know that there was talk of doing a TV show or something like that, but Harrison Ford is done with Indiana Jones, and he's too old. He's too old to do anything else with it. Like I said, I know there's a TV show, but TV show I think was going to be like a spinoff kind of thing or like a younger Indiana Jones, which I could see them doing something like that. But I think that was a fitting end to that series, where had they just left it with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I think it would have always been kind of tainted the end of that run. So, is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny like an Academy Award-winning film? No. But like I said, I think it's a great way to kind of wrap up that era or that series of movies. One movie that was kind of surprised by this year, and I saw the first one. I saw the first one on streaming, I believe. And I thought it was really good. And then I didn't really, so I guess I expected the second one to be really good, but it was a lot better than I even thought it was going to be. And that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So Into the Spider-Verse came out a few years ago. And like I said, I thought it was really great. I really liked the movie. And I'm not the biggest fan of animation, or animated movies, I should say. But like I said, Into the Spider-Verse was really good. Across the Spider-Verse was even better. And I think it's a movie that could win awards next year. They probably won't because it's a superhero movie and it's a animated movie. And there's always that, you know, those movies always get kind of knocked down a little bit, even when they are fantastic. But yeah, you know, I really loved what they did with the Miles Morales character and what they did with this different Spider-Man than what we're used to. And, you know, it ties into everything else the MCU was doing. And I think there is a third movie that's in the works also, but I think it has to. I think the Across the Spider-Verse landed on kind of a cliffhanger, kind of. So I'm pretty sure there's a third one coming. So that's definitely what I'm looking forward to when it gets released. But Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, like I said, should win some awards next year. Even though I know people will kind of hate on it a little bit just for being an animated movie. A movie that I was kind of the opposite with was Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I was really excited, looking forward to it. I mean, I think it's a good movie. It just maybe not quite as good as I wanted it to be. I think they did a really good job kind of wrapping up the Guardians trilogy and kind of what was going on with those characters. But, you know, we're going to see Star-Lord again. He's definitely going to be in movies moving forward. I think we're going to see Rocket again. We'll see members of the Guardians in other movies, but we won't see the Guardians anymore. The Guardians of the Galaxy are done. And like I said, I think the way they kind of wrapped up that movie was good for the trilogy. But maybe I think there was a couple of weak parts in that movie where if they'd been kind of worked a little bit differently, it might have been a little bit of a better movie, but it was still a really good movie. I still have it on my list as one of my favorite movies of 2023. And it's probably, I'd put that up with Spider-Man. It's probably the two best movies of Phase 5 for the MCU. It'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with Star-Lord moving forward. Like I said, I know that he'll be in other movies. And they could still do things with Guardians moving forward, but it just, without James Gunn, it's never going to be the same. And then the last movie I've got on my list is one that I didn't even have on my radar until, I think it was just before it was released. I think we talked about it a little bit on the podcast. Because beginning of every month, we do an episode where we talk about things we're looking forward to during that month. And there's a movie called Air that came out. It was directed by Ben Affleck. And the movie's about Nike's efforts in the early part of the 80s to sign Michael Jordan. So it was like shortly after, I think it was the movie starts before he's drafted. And that's where the whole pursuit of Michael Jordan by Nike starts with. But it's not, first off, I love sports drama movies. Probably a lot of my favorite movies are sports dramas, whether it's like 8 Men Out or things like that. But it's got great casting. Of course, Ben Affleck is in it. Matt Damon's in it. Jason Bateman, Marlon Wayans, Chris Tucker's in there. Viola Davis is in the movie too. And it's really interesting because the movie is not really about Michael Jordan. The movie is about Nike's pursuit and the lengths that Nike goes to sign Michael Jordan. So Damon Young plays Michael Jordan in the movie and says exactly one word in the entire film. Most of his shots are from behind also. At one part in the movie, Damon Young picks up the phone and says hello. That's literally the only word that Michael Jordan says in the entire movie. Because like I said, it's not a movie about Michael Jordan. It's more so, it reminded me a lot of Moneyball, which is another great movie. Moneyball is about Billy Beane when he was the general manager for the Oakland Athletics and kind of what their process was. And it's not really a movie, it's not a baseball movie, even though it's about, it involves baseball. It was more about the process. And Air is kind of the same way. It's about the process that Nike went through and everything that they were doing and the relationships that they build with Michael's family and Michael's agent to bring him in and really revolutionize footwear. I mean, and that's exactly what Nike did with Jordan when they signed him and created the whole Air Jordan thing. And I think at one point they promised that Michael Jordan will make $3 million off of the Nike shoes. And ends up making like $160 million or something like that. It's just like an insane amount of money that even Nike didn't even know was going to happen because of the revolution that became Jordan shoes in the mid to late part of the 90s. I'm sorry, in the 80s. Like I said, just a fantastic movie, a fascinating movie to kind of go through. And if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. It's it's one that I hope is nominated for a bunch of great awards next year, because that's I think it's one that deserves it. You know, to be recognized with up there with like the Oppenheimers and things like that. It's just a really good drama. Obviously, it's a different kind of movie than Oppenheimer, but I think it's one of my favorite movies of the last couple of years. Like I said, I was going to try to keep this kind of shorter, not a big like 45 or an hour long show, since it was just me sitting here yapping about really about Marvel and some of my favorite movies of this year. But if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you give me the thumbs up and drop me a comment down below and let me know what some of your favorite movies of the year have been. Like I said, I think it's been a great year for movies. I think 2024 is going to be even better. I'm definitely looking forward to a lot of stuff that's going to be getting released next year. And we'll actually do an episode in January, the beginning of season 3 of the podcast here, to kind of go over some of the stuff we're looking forward to next year. But if you have any questions or comments, you email me at entnowpod@gmail.com. And check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and, of course, the YouTube channel there. But that's all I got. Until next time, peace.
Play my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a guard around me. Dip like I know you care, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got you two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas alright, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bruh. We taking a dub, hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick me up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's some dollar signs. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon.
Oh shit. Watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Right now, and I'm smiling in your face, bitch. With a gold smile, you should probably make placement. To your eye, niggas sick as fuck. Standing with niggas. Who down for that party? Who down for some bitches who showing their bodies? Swear to God, nigga, this Molly got me up and rolling. Need bodies of water. Bring that shit in bottles. We mash at the party. They hate when we style.